then I'm going to ask that you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. In Romans 15:4, the Bible says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11. "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." I want to speak from this subject, God and history. God and history. Black History Month, sometimes known as African American History Month, is an annual observance in the United States, in Canada, and even in the United Kingdom to find this being done in places other than America. Very inspirational to me. In America and in Canada, it's in the month of February. In the United Kingdom, it's in the month of October. But it is in honor of Africans that have been displaced, who have been disenfranchised, and in many ways have been left out, not acknowledged in history. Carter G. Woodson, 1926, initiated Black History Week. It was always the second week in February, because Abraham Lincoln's birthday was on the 12th and Frederick Douglass was on the 14th. But it was expanded to the whole month of February. This is what Carter G. Woodson said: "If a race has no history, it has no worthwhile tradition, it becomes a negligible factor in the thought of the world, and it stands in danger of being exterminated. History is important. For any race of people, for any people, history is very important." I want to give you seven reasons why history is important. Number one, you understand society. Knowledge of where we are and understanding how we came to where we are, as it involves events and people, is so essential to every society. Number two, to understand change. What caused the change? Why is the change important? Not only understanding society and change, but number three, it provides a sense of identity. Who am I? Who are you? That's important, to know who I am and to know who you are. Not only is it to understand society and understand the changes and provide a sense of identity, but it preserves stories. It's good to hear what others before us had to say. Preserving their words, preserving their past, their events, and passing them down to generations after us. Number five, not only is it involving identity and preservation, but it's inspiration. When you are able to connect with past generations, being able to tap into their ideas and into their struggles and into the events that made them who they are, it inspires us in our present day struggle and in our present day situation. Number six, it teaches us that there are some warning signs that need to be observed. If you forget your history, you forget some of the catastrophes, some of the things that happened in the past that could be repeated. If we pass by the warning signs. Number seven, history just helps us to be a better people. History gives us understanding. It gives us understanding of our society, understanding of why changes have taken place. It gives us identity. It gives us preservation, traditions. And then it also inspires us, it warns us, and it makes us better. But the question on the floor is, is God interested in history? I would like to say that history started with God. If it hadn't been for God helping us to understand the importance of history, we wouldn't be historians today. God is the greatest historian that has ever, ever been, because he is the greatest that has ever had existence. That's why he goes on record and saying, whatsoever things were written aforetime, written for our learning, we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Why does he say written? Because he needs it to be permanent. He needs it to be documented where it can be passed on from generation to generation. And that's why he calls it scripture, because it is written in indelible ink, it does not change, will not change. His word will never change. My history is permanent. Write it down, Moses. Tell them about the beginning. Tell them about how that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the ones who brought us into this whole scheme of redemption. Tell them, I got you out of how I first grew you in Egypt, multiplied you in Egypt, and then turned around and brought you out of Egypt. Tell them how I opened up the Red Sea. And when you do that, your sons are going to ask you, why are you observing the Passover? Tell them the reason that we're observing the Passover is because God passed over us that night. Don't ever go through your life not understanding how you got where you are and what made you what you are. God wants us to know our history. He wants us to know that through Abraham that he's going to bless not just the family of Abraham, that immediate family through his blood, but he's going to bless all the families of the earth through the seed of Abraham, and that seed is Christ. And I'm glad to be able to say to all of us this evening that the greatest history is not African-American history, not European history, not the history of Western civilization. The greatest history that's ever been is the history that God is the very one who created and made all things. Everything comes from God. God took the blood of one man and made all men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And that's the history that I want to tap into. And the reason I want to tap into that history is because it doesn't matter. You can leave my personal history out, but as long as I'm connected to God, I know I'm all right because I'm connected to the history that's going to go into that eternal book called the Book of Life. And God has it all. So as we study, God, what he did for us on Calvary, it's a historical event, but he wants us to remember it every first day of the week. It's a history lesson. And if we don't see it that way, then we won't have a good society, nor will we be a people who will be inspired. All of this must be preserved in order for all of us to be a better people. And we will when we remember our history. May God be praised and honored for what he has done through Christ Jesus. And that's my lesson for tonight. May God bless you. May God keep you. And remember, as we learn about our history and our ethnicity and all of the things that make us unique as a people, being the people of God is more important than anything in the world. So God bless you and may God keep you. You're not here and you're not a member of the body of Christ, that great society called the Christian family. We invite you to become a member of that church by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, and confessing Christ to be the Son of God. When you're baptized, you'll be baptized. Your sins will be washed away. You will become a brand new creature, a creature in Christ, in the church of Christ, the church that you can read about in your Bible. Stay faithful unto death. And he will give you a crown that fadeth not away. You're desirous of becoming a Christian, we invite you to do so. If you straight away, you come back. Rededicate yourself. Rededicate yourself to the history that God wants you to be associated with. Come right now while together we stand and sing, "Will You Come?" Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory he says on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear,
sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Let us again say amen. Thank Brother Gibbs for another beautiful lesson. So much said in such a short time. I wanted him to keep going. But thank you again, Brother Gibbs. Amen. We have those that have come tonight. As we call your name, we'd ask that you please stand, and we want to go to God on your behalf in just a moment. Clinetta Johnson.